From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds, and this is The Conversation. The Washington legislative session is approaching halftime. Joining us with the latest progress and regress are the Northwest News Network's Austin Jenkins and Tom Bonsi. Tom, let's start with you. Today, as we've been hearing, is the dreaded federal budget cuts known as the sequester are due to begin. You've been looking into what that might mean for our state. What have you learned?
Well, Ross, the sequester now appears to be happening, and the question I've been trying to figure out is who feels it first. And it looks like the effects will ripple down and take quite a bit of time, but the military and FAA and TSA are the first places I expect to see something. And it's not exactly immediate, but already we're hearing that the contractors who operate the air traffic control towers at small and medium-sized airports in Washington have been notified that their contract will be terminated effective April 1st. So that means the airport control towers in places like Olympia, Tacoma Narrows Airport, Yakima Air Terminal will go dark in a month.
Hey, Tom, thanks very much. We want to see how this rolls out also among the budget writers at the state capitol who are trying to figure out how to come up with a state budget and take into account the fact that they'll have less federal money there. Austin Jenkins, what are you hearing from them?
Well, you know, Ross, I've said several times this week that in this town, because of the Great Recession, lawmakers are pretty accustomed to bad economic and budget news. And so this one appears to be sort of rolling off their shoulders, if you will. It's not to say that they aren't worried, but let's put this in a little bit of context. There's about $1 billion shortfall now. They owe about $1 billion in the next 2 years for education. What we're hearing from the governor's budget office is the impact of sequester at just the state budget level is about $80 million. And basically 80% of the federal funds the state gets, think, for instance, Medicaid, is off limits in the sequester. The bigger concern would be what's the impact on the economy as you furlough civilian DOD employees, as you've got less sales tax spending going on. And even that, and there, you know, everybody here is waiting for the March revenue forecast to sort of figure out where we stand in terms of our economy and our economic recovery and what it means for state coffers. But even at that, I talked to one budget insider today who said this might be a $200 million hit on that revenue forecast. Not chump change, but it's not an absolute game changer.
Austin, another big bit of news from Olympia this week, the state Supreme Court finding that the voter-approved measures to require a two-thirds vote of the legislature to raise taxes is unconstitutional. Now the bar is lower. Potentially they could have an easier time of raising taxes. Do you think they will?
Certainly, the rules of the game have changed dramatically. I mean, a simple majority vote is much easier and a much lower bar than a two-thirds majority. But the political realities did not change with that ruling from the high court. The political reality is that Washington voters have said five times, and most recently last November by a nearly two-thirds majority, that they like that high threshold. Most legislators have voters in their districts who, with a majority or greater, said that this is a policy they want in place. You've also got a Senate now controlled largely by Republicans, a governor who ran for office saying he was not in support of an across-the-board tax increase. And so politically, it doesn't seem to be, to use that term again, a game changer. But here's what it does do. For Democrats, their loyal allies are going to be pushing much harder on them to be looking at tax options. This certainly puts some things back on the table, and it may, at the end of the day, result in a final budget deal that includes some revenue, and that might be extending expiring tax hikes. It might mean closing some of those proverbial tax loopholes. But my sense in talking to Republicans over in the Senate is if that happens, and that's a question mark, they will insist that any revenue piece still go out to voters for their approval. And so we may just be living in an era where it's a simple majority, but the reality is politically, voters one way or another get the final say.
I'm speaking to the Northwest News Network's Austin Jenkins from Olympia. The legislature works on a schedule, Austin, with a deadline. Where are we today?
Well, today, if you are kind of a Olympia nerd, is fiscal committee cutoff day. Remember last week at this time, we were talking about policy committee cutoff. So this is, these are basically policy bills that have a price tag with them. And so they get, as Tom Bonsi says, an extra layer of scrutiny. They have to go from a policy committee to a fiscal or budget committee for review. So they need to get out of committee today or they die. These are non-budget bills, but they're policy bills with a price tag is how we like to describe it.
Is there any headway on gun control measures, or as advocates call them, gun safety measures?
I had a very interesting conversation this week with Representative Jamie Peterson, who's the chair of the House Judiciary Committee, the prime sponsor on this proposal to require universal background checks for gun sales in Washington. He says that behind-the-scenes talks continue with Second Amendment advocates. He indicated that an open line of communication is now happening with the chief lobbyist for the NRA here. I have a call out to that lobbyist. I have not talked to him or been able to confirm his side of this conversation. But basically, Representative Peterson says they are working on trying to bring on board some Second Amendment advocates who might, under certain circumstances, and with some concessions that they're seeking specific to a database the State Department of Licensing runs, might possibly sign on to this. Jamie Peterson indicated that a vote on this proposal might happen in the House as they approach a deadline, not next week, but the week after, the 13th, 14th, 15th, I think he said. So it sounds like he's working to muster the votes, he's working to build support, and he also indicated that if this gets through the House, that this might be an issue, and he's not in the Senate, but he said it might be ripe for what we call the ninth order, which is basically when a coalition that's not the existing majority seizes control of the floor of the Senate and forces a vote on a measure. So this is one to watch. It's in flux, it's very interesting, and it seems to have some legs, but they have not, you know, we haven't seen the end of it yet.
Much more to come. The Northwest News Network's Austin Jenkins and also Tom Bonsi. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.